Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember when you were 4 or 5 years old and you were with your parents in a crowded store and you were lagging behind them a little bit and something shiny caught your eye and you stopped to examine that thing longingly? And eventually you turned back to follow your mother and father, and they weren't there. They hadn't realized that you had fallen behind, and they had gone on without you. The terror of it. They were gone, and you were lost in a sea of unknown, enormous people. Well, few of us would want to relive that feeling. And fewer still of us would not feel our heart go out to that child who was now wailing desperately at the sight of the crowded aisles of strangers. Maybe you remember the second act of that drama, when the parent's reassuring voice cuts through the surrounding noise. "Tanya, Tanya, it's okay, honey, we're here." And they give a comforting hug, and the child's sobs gradually turn into hiccups, and maybe she even gets a treat at the checkout counter. Well, that's a wonderful image of parental love, except that many of us have seen another version of this reunion. "Jason, where have you been?" yells the parent. "I told you not to wander away. Come on, we're running late. I don't have time for this." And maybe even the child gets a smack on the bottom. What has happened to us when we have gotten lost? Have we been yelled at and punished? Or have we been sought and comforted? In the 15th chapter of Luke's gospel, Jesus tells the people gathered all around him a series of stories about losing and finding. And the people who are gathered around him, this is a mixed crowd. All sorts of people have been listening to what Jesus has to say. There are people who agree with him, people who disagree, people who take what he's saying seriously, and people who dismiss it. It is a mixed crowd, very much like most Sundays in most churches. The Pharisees and the scribes are there, wondering what sort of heresy is this Jesus going to come up with next? And the tax collectors and sinners are probably there too, nervously wondering if they are really welcome. And the disciples, of course, are there, confused, but soaking it all in. And Jesus tells them all the parables. Parables of the lost sheep and of the lost coin. And both of these, I wonder if you notice, they started out with a question. Which one of you had 100 sheep and wouldn't go looking for it? The lost one. What woman, having 10 coins, if she loses one, doesn't search for it diligently? In both parables, there is a question, a lost object, a sheep or a coin, and ultimately a successful search because the main character is diligent and persistent. And in both parables, after the sheep and the coin have been found, the individual calls together their friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me. I think a party breaks out." Do you think that's a bit excessive? People don't usually get together to celebrate finding something that has been lost, but I think maybe Jesus is telling us that joy must be shared in order to be fully joy. Maybe he's telling us this is the way things should be. Now compare these parables with Jeremiah's image of a potter. The potter is crafting a bowl or a pot, but the work is spoiled. Perhaps one of the sides of the pot of the clay piece collapses. And then the potter scrapes the still pliable clay off the wheel and dumps it back in the pile of clay, or uses it right away again for another project. Jeremiah says, the potter reworks it into another vessel. Now, clay is an inert substance. It is to be acted on, it is to be shaped, but it cannot do it by itself. Lost sheep, lost coins are pretty helpless. They cannot contribute to being found. They're not responsible for being found. Instead, reshaping is the work of the potter, and finding is the work of the diligent seeker, the shepherd who searches, the woman who sweeps. Fixing and finding is God's work. God diligently seeks us, searching for those who have wandered off, our attention caught by something shiny and terrified by the realization that we are now lost. But for God, 99 sheep or 9 coins is not enough. And I'm not speaking economically here. When God is the seeker, God assigns infinite value to each individual, because the flock is not complete without that last lost sheep. And God does not give up until all that has been lost is found. God's pursuit of the lost and the ruined is relentless. God finds the lost, and God rejoices, and God invites the rest of us to join in the celebration. Like when the woman finds that lost coin and calls together all her friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, I've found this coin that I lost." That's the way God would invite us to party with rejoicing with one another. So, who do we identify with in these parables? Are we the sinners? Perhaps that's the first thing we think of. Or maybe we're the silent disciples, kind of observing, trying to figure it all out. Maybe we're even the critical Pharisees, or a bit of all three. When we witness this search for something that is lost, are we going to celebrate like the friends and the neighbors, or are we going to quibble like the Pharisees over the intrusion of the tax collectors into our midst? "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them," they say. But God invites us to look at the work that God has done, the work of finding and fixing, and to call it good. God invites us to open our circle to all the people that God sends to us, because there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. You may know that the words to the hymn "Amazing Grace" were written by John Newton, who was a slave trader in the first part of his life. And Newton was on one of his slave boats in the middle of a storm at sea, and enormous waves nearly swept him overboard. Newman cried out to God, and this led to his conversion to Christianity. And gradually he saw the implications of his new faith for his way of life. And so he renounced his work as a slave trader, and he joined the fight against slavery. Newton never lost sight of the depths from which he had been lifted. He never lost sight of God's grace, and the hymn "Amazing Grace" intimately reflected his experience. The opera singer Jessie Norman was a powerful interpreter of this hymn, and she suggests that the tune to which Newton set his words, that this might have been an old tune sung by the slaves themselves. And if that story is true, John Newton chose to celebrate his own redemption with the music of the people whose humanity he had denied, the people that he had worked to exclude from community. Newton became ready to rejoice at the finding of all who were lost. And so when we sing this hymn, as we will in a few minutes, we too have an opportunity to rejoice. Not only have we, who once were lost, been found, but we can rejoice that God is the diligent seeker. God is searching and will continue searching until all are found. The last and the lost are not least in God's sight. Scripture says there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Whether we are the sinner or the self-righteous, God will not tire until we have been brought back home and reunited with the flock. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.